Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey, all you freaks. Welcome back to the Love Freak Podcast. I am here with my friend and swim master, Brian Mineo. And today we're going to be talking about fear, the good, the bad, the ugly, how to recognize it, and ultimately how to overcome it. Once afraid of the open water himself, Brian's now overcome his fear after many, many years and has made it a mission to help others do the same. 6 years ago, he created an organization called One with the Ocean, formerly known as SMOG. And they've grown now across 15 locations and have over 3,200 members that meet on a weekly basis and face their fears together and share their love of the water. And on top of that, they also serve together in protecting their beaches, oceans, rivers, and lakes, working to keep them clean and healthy. So that's really cool too. In my opinion, Brian has become a master at looking fear in the face and not letting it consume him. And that's a trick that I know that I'm definitely still learning and working through because, you know, there's a lot of it out there in the world, especially right now. And I really think that the only way that we can kind of get ourselves out of it is just to move straight through it. So whether you're a swimmer or not, I think this will be a great lesson in how we can acknowledge our fears and not let them control us. You know, we're living in very uncertain times. So if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling chaotic, you're definitely not alone. And ultimately, I think fear, in whatever form it takes, can be such a great teacher. You know, when we're in communication with ourselves about why we're fearful of something, we can take the steps to understand the root of those fears. And that gives us such an amazing opportunity to grow and expand into a much richer version of ourselves. So let's do this. Brian, what is up?
Courtney, it is great to see you. And thanks for that wonderful articulate intro. Very perfectly summarizing my entire adult life.
Well, good. Yeah. People often call me like their hype person these days.
I love it. No, it's great to see you. And you and I have had these conversations in the past, and it's one that I like to have. And it's very natural for me being now anecdotal, and I can share my own experiences on why I am where I am. Yeah. And for me, it wasn't such a conscious, purposeful progression. But now looking back, my intuition and my experiences led me to where I am, which for me is a beautiful thing. Because I always thought I was the guy, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what's my gift? What do I have to offer? And I've found that, but in a way that was very like seemingly just random almost.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's that quote that always says, do something every day that scares you.
Yeah.
And you do something every day that most people find absolutely terrifying, and you've made it your job. You know, you swim these long distances in the open ocean, and you always are kind of coming up against fear and uncertainty. So just tell us a little bit what that's like and kind of what that entails.
I love that you said it that way. So I know I do something every day that scares most other people. And I think they assume that it does not scare me. And that simply is not the truth. I still have plenty of fear that creeps in from time to time. And it's a voice that now I have more control over, more mastery of. But I still face the ocean on a daily basis in a sense for growth for myself still.
Wow.
So that's not to say that I get out there and I'm scared every day. I think that's not the truth. But I do get out there and I'm challenged every day, which for me is my biggest spark and motivator to do that. let alone the actual physical benefit of being in the water. It's super rewarding. It feels great. You just have this high afterwards that the rest of your day is set. So for me, I approach the ocean in a very unstructured way, but with a very purposeful approach, where I have safety in place and I have confidence and poise in place as my toes hit the water. But I go out there with low expectations, where I'm not trying to reach a certain speed or distance or a tangible goal. Because I found for myself, that's limiting for me. And then I have a better chance to feel disappointed in whatever happened or whatever I did.
Wow. Because that expectation doesn't allow you to kind of be open to all the other possibilities, right?
Totally. And if we can talk about the ocean in the most basic sense, it's the most dynamic feature and the largest feature on our planet. So literally looking at that objectively, it's always changing. And so in that constant state of change are many, many challenges, many, many lessons to be offered, as you said, as an opportunity. So when I go out there, I have no idea what to expect as far as how I'm going to feel or what might possibly take place, what I might see in the water, which for a lot of people is a very strong mental hurdle. Yeah. And so all these things excite me. So I go out there knowing that I'm going to have the most dynamic experience I could possibly have on Earth in this moment right now is in the ocean.
Wow. That's so incredible. So it didn't always come easy for you. Like, so what do you do to make this a normality? Like, how have you kind of processed it in your mind? Like, I know you've had some stories in the past that have made you afraid of the water. So like, what kind of brought you to this point of being like, okay, I can make this normal in my mind? And share your story. Tell everyone what kind of happened to you as a kid.
Yeah, I think the story provides context, because if you were to look at my social media or website or even see me in person, because I'm at the beach all the time, you would easily assume that I am this very strong, skilled swimmer, which there is some truth in that, but there's many other layers to that that affect how I feel in the water, which is kind of what we're starting to talk about here. So growing up, I was on the swim team in small town Texas, and I was good, but I wasn't great. Like I really enjoyed it. But for me, it was always more about the community and being together and kind of the fun and the joy of the water, not so much being outcome driven, like trying to win the gold medal per se.
Yeah.
So from age 4, I was the earliest member of the Bedford swim team in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I swam up through high school. Took time off in college. And the reason why I took time off is the story I'll tell you right now is when I was 18, this was senior year of high school, triathlon was starting to become a more household sport, the name of triathlon. And I had a friend who was training for their first triathlon. And they asked me if I could help them train on the open water swim. And being a swimmer for 14 years at that point, I had some bit of confidence, and rightfully so. And I offered my help, and probably a little more confidently than I should have. And I had never swam in the open water before, which is not weird though, for someone in middle of Texas. Like you go to the lake to either sit on a boat and drink beer or you go fish.
Right.
And so I, at that point, was not doing either of those things. And so I just hadn't been in the lake before. I hadn't been in the open water before. So I get to the lake on this dreary Easter Sunday, actually. And Easter in Dallas can be pretty cold and windy. And the water temps are in like the high 40s, low 50s. So significantly colder than most people.
Yeah.
Not comfortable.
Yeah.
Particularly without a wetsuit. And I did
that's
not have
an ice bath. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a Wim Hof approach.
Yeah.
But I did not know what Wim Hof method was at this point. So we get there, and I remember this very vividly. Like when we pulled up to the parking lot, we were in our separate cars. I had this distinct feeling in my body of a tightness and constriction in my chest. Mm. And that was very foreign to me. And I couldn't identify what that was. It was fear. Yeah. But I felt something that was new, and it kind of scared me. So I got out of the car. And even telling the story, I kind of feel a little bit short of breath. It's just like, I can still feel that moment. my friend put their wetsuit on, kind of did the formalities that I had no idea were formalities of open water swimming.
Oh,
and
no.
off they went into the water. And I guess I was supposed to fall behind and swim. And if anything, I was supposed to teach them how to do this.
How's your confidence feeling at this point?
there was no confidence, and I was so lost. I was so unsure of myself, but I had my goggles on and, you know, my cap and started marching out there. And yeah, it's cold, but ironically, the cold was probably the last thought in my mind. The swirling thoughts that were already starting just took over everything else. So I get out waist deep and they're already maybe 15 yards ahead. So let's say 15 strokes ahead, something like that. And I dive in, I start taking strokes, and within seconds, the chop from the wind on the water, I'm swallowing the gulps of water.
Oh my
God. I'm already upright. So at this point now, let's call it 10 feet deep. Can't stand. I'm upright, treading water, bobbing, which is not very relaxing either. So I'm doing this kind of a motion back and forth, trying to keep my head upright. And I'm choking on water. And I'm still in my head, like, okay, I got to get over this. You can do this. And I see them look back and they're like, are you okay? And I just sort of cough and choke down a little thumbs up to fake that I'm doing all right. And I wasn't doing all right.
Oh no.
Another 20 or 30 seconds pass and I'm in the same spot. And I can just, the sensation, like the sensory overload rather, was such that I couldn't think of what to do. And I'm a swimmer. Like I those movements with my arms, with my legs are so innate and second nature to me that I couldn't even think to do that. And so I'm just trying to literally survive at this point. Oh my and God. In my brain, I'd gotten to the point where I thought I was going to drown, which sounds crazy for someone who's a swimmer, but I knew I was not going to be able to do this, which was scary. And I think at this point they knew something was wrong. They looked back and they started to swim back towards me. And there was a sense of relief in that, but still no safety in that either. And I couldn't tell what they were saying, but I was watching their lips and they were saying, just breathe, like just breathe. And that was the first moment I had a very collected, controlled thought of, oh yeah, my breath, get back to my breath. The one thing that I own, the one thing I can do is breathe.
Wow.
So I kind of had that flush, exhale and reset. Still wasn't in a great place, but I was able to get back to the shore. And that's when the feelings really hit me, honestly. The safety piece was great. I had feet on land, but I kind of hung my head in shame and confusion. Like, what was that? Like, why did that just happen? I'm a swimmer. Like, that's my identity. That's who I am. Yet I couldn't do it. Wow, so
it paralyzed you.
It literally paralyzed me. And that was when the word fear was in my brain for the first time in my life. It was the first time I'd ever thought about the word fear. And so driving home that day, it was immediate shame and embarrassment.
Oh.
And I share this with nobody. And that's my biggest regret. And now is a blessing, actually, that you'll see what played out. But I didn't tell anybody about this because, like, how could I possibly explain what happened? It wouldn't sound real for most people. Like, what? You almost drowned? Like, so I went home that night, and this was after school on a weekday. The lake's about 30 minutes away. And I tried to create a game plan. Like, okay, I've got to face this thing. Like what happened? How do I approach this? So my idea was just to go back to the lake the next day, not really knowing what that would look like, but just go back there and just kind of revisit those thoughts. And that terrified me, honestly.
Wow.
It would have been much easier for me to be like, you know, I'm never going to that place again. That was a terrible experience. And I don't know where that came from. That was a very intrinsic thing that, like, I knew I had to act on.
Yeah.
So I went back the next day, half an hour drive after school in my 92 Pontiac Grand Prix, which was an awesome car, by
nice.
The way.
Nice. Rock yes. star.
It was very sick. And with the tape deck attached to my Walkman CD player.
Oh, now you're going too far. Fancy
yeah.
pants.
Fancy yeah, I had like 15 seconds of skip protection. So, you know how that was.
Whoa, killing it.
Yeah. Still skipped, but.
Wow.
I'm glad I mentioned that as a joke. You know me as a music person, you're a music person. I remember on that drive, I had silence.
Wow.
And I couldn't even, I needed to be in my brain so much that I couldn't handle a single distraction like music. which for me, typically my entire life, music is such an addition to my life and it inspires
me. It's an escape
me.
Probably too.
Totally. Like, totally.
Yeah.
So that drive, I remember like I had my stereo off and I just drove in silence, and I can remember even the lights in my car, they're all red illuminated, like really neat interior. But like, I remember that like very, in a sense, like somber feeling, like I had lost something, but I was about to gain something much bigger.
Yeah.
So I get to the lake that day. And day one was pretty scary. I literally just stood there in the grass and really just relived the entire day before, which was punishing. I had the exact same thoughts and was having a very similar experience again. Some tightness in the chest. I wasn't breathing well. But after some, let's say 15, 20 minutes, I did have a bit of sort of calm and like let down on my shoulders. It's like, okay, I'm here, I'm grounded, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. Drove home that night, felt somewhat better. And that's where the progression began. A progression that I use today that was, of course, unknown at the time would become something much more significant for me. But I drove back at least 3 or 4 times a week after school.
Wow.
And just built off of that. I remember days 2 and 3 were very similar. And then days, say 4, 5, 6, I was in the water waist deep, just being submerged, feeling the water, the energy of it, understanding the perspective of that. So really just studying the water. Mm. And then got to the point where within, let's say 2, 3 weeks, I was swimming in the water by myself.
Wow.
Along the shore, and was loving it and was getting pretty good at that. So it's been interesting to see how I've taken that from the most negative experience of my life at that time into the most positive life-giving experience today.
Well, and it's true. And like what you said a few minutes ago, you're like, people think that I'm still not afraid to do it. And you're still scared. And I feel like,
yeah,
once you face a fear, or you it doesn't always go away. You have to keep practicing
right.
it, and it may never
yes.
go away. That's just,
right.
I think it's just recognizing it. So I have a question, and there's a couple of things in your story I want to talk about here, but, one of those being in the present moment, which we'll kind of talk about here in a second. But before we go into that, what is fear to you? You mentioned it kind of how it manifests in your body and in your chest, but you know, so now we know how you kind of can recognize it. Does it come up like that in everybody? What is exactly fear in your opinion?
If I had to put into one word or a synonym,
yeah.
I would say unknown. Fear is the unknown.
Mm.
And it's a lack of understanding of something. So fear keeps us safe. And I can confidently say that all of us seek and need safety in every facet and meaning of the word, literally, metaphorically.
Yeah.
So this unknown is when we don't quite have the know-how, the tools, the skills to approach something. And even if it's a visual context of, say, a spider or a snake, those are scary to most people because the way they move is unfamiliar and unknown to us.
Great point.
So when we see that, it's like, whoa, that's really, really weird. And so it ends up manifesting in the way of fear or being scared.
Right.
So very, very similarly, that's a learned thing. So fear is learned. We're not born with fear.
Right.
So everything is taught through experience in our lives. And so we have fear for certain reasons. And knowing that it's learned, I think the silver lining in that is that it can also be unlearned.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I've spent most of my time over the years working on, is teaching on how to unlearn fear. So creating a bit of purpose and progression to that, which was my lake experience, going back every few days to unlearn this.
It's kind of like what I said at the beginning. It's like the only way out is through, you know,
100%.
And there's a quote that says that. It's just like, you have to keep practicing it, because if something is unknown, you work through it by making it known to you. That's how you become comfortable.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important to say, like, fear's not bad. It's not detrimental. Like, there's good aspects of fear. Like you mentioned, like, fear can be, you know, very healthy, in a sense of, it does bring that awareness and that safety and saying, okay, this is unknown to me and this is super weird. But, you know, when we allow ourselves to kind of be controlled by that fear, I feel like that's when it becomes really limiting and unhealthy. You know, like, it can also be kind of this road to enlightenment in a way, in a sense of, when you feel it and you can feel where it comes up, and you can ask yourself the tough questions like, what's the driving force behind this? What's the foundation? What's the root cause? Like, what is ultimately triggering this? And it gives you such a deeper understanding of yourself. When you answer those questions, you can kind of expand and grow.
Yeah. I love the way you said that too. And I think it does take a bit of time spent with the fear. And so for me, the step one is always to understand that, both conceptually, literally, is okay. So what is this fear? So for me, it was a fear of being in a body of water where I can't touch or stand. In a lake, it was and that would induce fear for most people and a bit of anxiety for most people. Because there's no safe point. There's no like reset button there.
Right.
So the first step is trying to understand, okay, what is this? What is the root of this? Like, what's the trigger of this, kind of, as you said, and just observing that and understanding, okay, so here's what it looks like on paper. Great. Now I can at least have that narrative dialogue in my head and know how I'm going to start to chip away at this. Mm-hmm. But when you do it a bit more aimlessly, let's say, and you just say, okay, I'm going to overcome this fear by just going out and doing it, trial by fire sort of thing, you're guaranteed to find some bit of failure, because you're going to go in way too hard, too fast, and then feel disappointed in yourself for doing that.
Sure. Which is probably what keeps people from continuing to move through that. They totally
failure. So the blessing of my experience was that I took it really slowly, and that wasn't because it was a conscious like decision to say, this needs to be slow so I can be gentle with myself and patient.
Yeah.
It was slow because I was still scared of this. So I do think that taking things at your pace and understanding what your pace is each time you're approaching this particular fear is the most necessary thing. Because there's no timeline that needs to be put in place. This is your thing, your experience, and you might have
your healing ultimately.
Totally. Yeah, there's, you might have the support.
There's reasons why you're fearful of something, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and this is a very personal thing. You might have a supportive cast of people that are helping you, that are your cheerleaders, that are maybe doing this and going along the journey with you. But this is your thing, and you're the only one that knows the experience that you're feeling, the language in your head, what you're feeling in your heart. So all that needs to be done incredibly patiently and slowly. Like, having grace with yourself, I would say, might be the most valuable way to approach any sort of fear or discomfort.
Ooh, that's a good word right there. and then I want to talk about kind of what you said about how they told you to breathe.
Mm.
And I really think that that's important, because, you know, fear, like you said, is learned. I think it's of the ego, right? And in that ego, kind of sometimes if we let it go out of control, can keep us in duality from ourselves or what is, or out of that present moment. You know, that it can, fear pulls us to the past of like, ooh, I don't want this to happen again. Or it takes us to the future because I don't want this to happen. And I think that practicing that mindfulness and staying in the moment, which always comes back to the breath, can really eliminate a lot of those fears. Because I think when we are not in the present moment, we're creating scenarios that aren't real, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm curious for you, is fear real in a sense, or because you often hear that fear is an illusion. So do you agree with that, or do you feel like there's kind of a balance?
No, I do not agree. Fear is not an illusion. Fear is very real and very functional in a simple safety mechanism sense that it's there to protect us.
Right.
So as far as you said, being present and the breath, which are very synonymous in a lot of ways, that's what I found about the open water in the ocean in particular, is it demands presence in a way that is unlike any other place in the world, from a literal survival standpoint. So as far as breath goes, synonymously with presence, the ocean is an incredible vehicle to put you in that place and demand that every second that you're in the ocean. And I think you've been there yourself now that you've fallen in love with the ocean as well.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. But it's scary. It's scary. It does have like a very spiritual aspect to it, but you're right. It's like just the all the unknowns, but there's something about the divinity of it when you can go just sit and be there that is so peaceful and calming, and you can kind of come back to yourself. And I don't know. I think it's a beautiful way to kind of work through fear, and it's helped me a lot. I'm still scared of it in a lot of ways. I'm scared every time I get on my paddleboard. You know, we paddle out sometimes 3 or 4 miles, and I always am thinking there's a shark under me with his mouth open waiting for me to fall in. So in that sense, I'm thinking, I'm like, it kind of is an illusion in that way of all these scenarios that I tend to create, but it's not, there's always reasons why we're fearful. And I think back to growing up for me, like, everything was always scary for me. My dad is very protective of me, which I'm very grateful for. He loves me. But, you know, it was always like, don't go to the bathroom by yourself. When we would go to the movies, don't go to the bathroom by yourself because, you know, somebody could take you. Somebody can kidnap you. Or don't go ride your bike down the street because you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself. You know, there was always scary things on the everything was scary in the world. And so that for me was working through that fear. And while an illusion, there could be a shark, I guess, with his mouth open waiting for me, it was an illusion in my mind that I'm 99% probably I'm fine, you know, but it's me working through and being aware of that childhood fear that was kind of put in me. So it's like really just becoming aware of that. So I think there could be kind of a balance, but it goes back to the point that fear is real. That was real because the world was made scary to me. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think there's a bit of argument on both sides with the way parents language things. And that's top of mind for me as a young parent now, where we're being pretty cautious with not saying like, oh, be careful, you know, blank. You know, even if it's something simple, like it's crazy how often you say, be careful to a child about things. And that takes away their power and their confidence. Sure. So whatever someone's experience was, and I had a lot of that language similar to you, Courtney, it does sort of instill fear that, yes, might be real, but might also not be helpful. So I think that one kind of can go either way. But fear is real for sure. And a parent's ultimate intention is pure and wanting to keep their kids safe. Every parent.
100%.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're a new father, so I'm sure that you can understand that. But it's, I think the important part is really being able to acknowledge what the fear is from the past and acknowledging it now and working through it in a sense of, okay, I can set myself free. I don't have to keep myself in this box. And I think that's the most important thing any of us can do. Would you agree?
Totally. Totally. So my silly advice I always give, which maybe it's not so silly, but it's been commented on being like obvious, is I always say you're either prepared or you're unprepared. Mm-hmm. And it's simple, but it's very true. And if you think about it that way, it's like, well, you always want to be prepared, right? You always want to feel prepared for anything, particularly with something that scares you and is challenging. Mm-hmm. And so the presence piece, the breath piece that we started to touch on, I think is your nucleus or your foundation to overcoming fear. And namely in the water, of course, because you have to do that. But even if you're doing something on land and maybe even if it's internalizing something, your breath should be your forefront focus. The one thing we can control that gives the opportunity to raise our performance ceiling, our potential, or our comfort is the breath. That's our foundation.
So do you do a lot of breath work outside of the water? Is that something that you kind of encourage people to do, whether it be yoga or I don't know, just straight up breath work? Like, is that important to practice outside so that when you get in the water, you know, this is where I come back to?
Breath work is fantastic. I've simplified my methodology a bit with my swimmers that I work with. Uh-huh. And I've gone away from doing different breathing patterns and like a breathwork sort of modality that might be a bit more hypoxic and have certain sensations coming out from that. And I've gone much more simple in the direction of breath awareness. Mm-hmm. And I say it like that because many of us lack awareness because of the autonomic function of the up and down, the rise and fall. It's always going. And we start to take that for granted at the very least. And typically we just don't have awareness of how to control the quality, the integrity of our breath. So for day one and many of the other days with a client, I'm having them on the beach and talking them through their breath. And I'm talking through how they're currently breathing and to take notice of that. So it's a very relaxed rise and fall, not holding your breath, the top or the bottom, working with maybe half your lung capacity. It's not forceful. It's not fast. It's nice and smooth, seamless. And once they start to feel that, I can see them find some ease. And this is particularly helpful for me when I'm getting the newer client into the water, because they're going to have that day one jitters. And even those things come up for me sometimes as well. So if I can get them to think about the singular job of their breath, they're going to be in a better place than they were when they got there. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is the more and more we work together and more they find success in this and comfort in this, they come to expect that same experience. So I'm helping them, facilitating and creating a positive experience in the open water. And then when they come back, that's the association, is joy or growth or fun. So yeah, for me, that's awesome. Where the patience piece is key. And if we step ahead too quickly, you're going to miss some of those points and set yourself up for a position to be fearful and have some, a bad experience, and then probably keep you from going back altogether.
Wow, so that's a really great point.
It's hugely helpful. And I enjoy it too. It's really interesting how it's a very give and take. Like when I work with these people and I'm helping them overcome a fear or even just become more confident in the open water, what I take from that, it's hard to even like articulate. It just, I feel a sense of like ease and purpose. And I think about that moment at the lake almost every single time I'm in the ocean.
Wow.
But in a positive way. Yeah. So
incredible. And I got to ask, like, I want to kind of bullet point these things, because I think all of us are feeling fear, and you feel fear. You think back to that, like you said, that lake incident every time you're in the water.
Yep.
What is your process in overcoming fear? We've talked about a bunch of things, but like if you had to do like step one, step two, would step one just be recognizing it, becoming
aware?
Step one
is the identification of it. And what can be really helpful is to pen and paper that out or on your phone, on your notepad or whatever. But number one is to identify it, like I kind of said before, conceptually. So understand, so what is it? And if you want to create layers deeper than that, you can try to find some of the triggers or some past trauma or past experiences that might be causing that, eliciting that feeling.
Yeah.
That's actually less important. Step one, what is the fear? The unknown. What's the unknown of this particular fear? Mm-hmm. So step two is then the submersion. So it's, I say submersion in a clever sense because I'm talking water, but it's the now charting out, how am I going to get into this fear and get into this water if it's a water thing? And that was me day 2, 3, 4 being at the lake, just observing before I actually got into the water. So then once my toes hit the water, that was the submersion. That's me actually being in that. So if it's a fear of snakes, maybe it is hiking trails where there might be snakes. I don't know. That's just an example.
That's scary.
But it's scary. Yeah, totally. So number two is the submersion. And that's the patient process that should have no timeline on. There are not like rigid checkpoints. That one should be incredibly free form and very personal to you, unless you're doing it with a team or something, which can be helpful. Mm-hmm. So how do I get from understanding it to now actually getting back in the reintroduction, the submersion of it?
Right. Right.
And then if there can be a third point, which there is, it's kind of the swimming. Then I want you to swim. And if that swimming is the hiking where the snakes are, it's that. But that's where
practicing
you then
it really, right?
Practicing it, doing it. But you're not just ready to do it. You don't just throw yourself back into the fire and do it the day after you find this fear. You have to slowly get back to that point to build the safety, to build the confidence, and the knowing of the unknown to then actually do it.
I love that. The knowing of the unknown. I think that's great. You know, are those the top three points? Like, are those
that's
kind
it.
Of Keep it very simple.
Identify it, start to practice it slowly, do it.
Yeah. Submerge yourself, practice, and then keep doing it. So that the known the unknown becomes known. I love that so much. you know, we have to overcome a lot of physical fears, and you're talking a lot about this in the swimming realm. And I love that. I love that. But what about, like, you know, emotional fears? Like, I know in my relationship in particular, like, I act in certain ways based off of, like, fear of rejection, or maybe fear of intimacy, or like past trauma for me. But I feel like this can all go together with the same process, moving through emotional fears and physical fears. Would you agree?
100%. And I have a laundry list of those things as well that I constantly am working on and trying to improve upon myself. And for me, it's a very similar check sheet. My first step is going to be the breath, is kind of that presence piece.
Yeah.
Where I'm one to ruminate. I'm one to get ahead of myself and my thoughts and maybe even get lost in that a little bit. Okay. So for me, it's like, okay, what's that pause button? How do I slow down? And my brain, to be productive, it has to have like one job. Otherwise it's here, all over. And the breath is always my starting point with that. If it's something that's out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so good. And I'm still on the making the unknown becoming known. And a lot of us, I think, are working through a lot of this kind of uncertainty, whether it be within ourselves, within the world, within all of the world events that are happening. Nobody really knows kind of where the hammer's going to fall, what everything's going to look like with work and jobs, with their relationships, even maybe. And you kind of said that this is the same kind of uncertainty that you feel in the water. So it's kind of nice to have this little focal point to work through different kinds of uncertainties. So that might look different for somebody else. Somebody else might have another hobby that kind of helps them work through that certain uncertainty. But I think the more and more that you can come familiar with uncertainty and how to work through it, I think it really, it can only benefit you. There's a quote by Eckhart Tolle that I love. It says, when you become comfortable with uncertainty, infinite possibilities open up in your life. And I think that's so true. I really think that the only way that you can really move through uncertainty is just to get used to it. You know,
totally.
Figure out what it feels like and move through it.
I completely agree. And I love that quote as well. That's one of my favorites as well. And I think it's important. I'll backtrack. The step one is the most important, the most cumbersome of the three steps that we just talked about. And there is this natural want and desire to control things. And when we can't control something, we feel out of control. And that's natural. That's understandable. And so that's what I've found in open water, in water, in the ocean, is that I'm pointing to the oceans right there. We can't control what the ocean's doing in this moment. So the step one, the identification, the understanding of that, what that looks like for me with a swimmer by myself is observing the conditions, the water, the conditions of life, let's say, of your brain, and just noticing what's going on so you can feel prepared for how you're going to approach it. Absolutely. So on a day when it's bigger surf, 3, 4, 5 foot waves, you've seen these days before, that can be really daunting. But it doesn't have to be. So if I can understand in my head, okay, I'm seeing what's happening. I know what to expect when I step into the water. You'll then at least feel in a place that you are prepared and not overwhelmed. Releasing that control is incredibly freeing, particularly in a place where you have to in the ocean.
Sure. Yeah. It's like you can know what to expect. You can expect the uncertainty, right?
Totally.
You said at the very beginning, you said if you have expectations, sometimes it can limit you, but if you can expect the uncertainty, I still feel like it's easier to see opportunity and more of the possibilities that are kind of going on around you. Right.
Yep. That's presence. It's accepting what is.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we often don't want to accept what is, but it's not in our ideal scenario.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was saying on that next step is the less expectations you have, the better you're going to feel in the process. And I guarantee the better you're going to do as well. Because when you show up on day 2, 3, 4, and you want it to go a certain way, it's just not going to go exactly that way.
Right.
And that's going to be the same with any fear, but particularly with water being dynamic. And so again, grace with yourself, patience with yourself is the name of the game to actually feel safe, feel loved with internally through this process. It's vulnerable. It's not easy. It's hard.
Oh God, it's so hard. It's because it's very confronting, you know. You have to kind of face yourself in ways that show yourself that maybe you're not as good at something, or maybe that you have kind of ugly parts to yourself, or you let fear control you in ways that you're not proud of. It's very, very confronting. So, for someone who coaches people how to overcome fear, basically, on a regular basis, I'm curious to know, for someone who's finding it really uncomfortable to kind of face this uncertainty and the fears that are happening right now, and maybe is on the verge of taking that first step out of their comfort zone, but is kind of retreating or going back, like, how would you encourage them in this moment?
What I'm encouraging right now, and I'll say this entire year, is community. And I know you know this about me. I'm a huge proponent of supporting each other in community, particularly in a time where there is collective uncertainty and fear on a very large scale, which for most of us, for all of us, really, we've never felt this before. So I say, seek out your community. And what we do with One with the Ocean is precisely that. And
absolutely.
We're a global open water swimming group, but I always say, like, we happen to swim. That's like, yeah, maybe the smallest, least important denotation about what we do is the swimming piece. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's the most fun part too, because we experience things together and we get out of the water and have coffee together and then we share those experiences. But the swimming is not the gold in what we've found here. It's community and it's acceptance.
Yeah. And it's people who are right there with you, who are kind of probably working through the same things that you are, and you can
totally
relate to them on a deeper level, and you know you're not alone. Like, I can't imagine, and you, I know you do this on a regular basis, but for the first time for me to get in the water and actually do an open water swim, if I was by myself, I would freak out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would freak out. I'd be so scared. But if I knew that people were right there with me, and there was somebody on to my left and someone to my right who were just as scared, or who were maybe more confident than me or whatever, but just to know I'm not alone, I think that that feels so much easier and gives me confidence, you know?
Yeah. I should have touched on that from the start of this podcast. It's like, I think nothing should be done alone, period. And right. So if you can find supportive people who love you, who share in the same mission or goals or whatever it is, that's going to feel very safe.
100%. And I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I do have to ask you this question. If you wouldn't have pushed yourself to working through your fears, working through being in the water, what would your life look like today? Like, what would you say lives on the other side of fear?
Well, freedom lives on the other side of fear. I can say that I would have been very constricted in my life, and I would have sought out this freedom in other unhealthy ways, and maybe through creativity in ways that wouldn't produce as much of a significant impact in my life and rewarding impact in my life. I'm glad that I did this. I don't know how I did this, honestly. Like, I look where I am now and I'm like, how did I actually get to this point? And I'm very proud and happy I'm at this point. But it's not fair for me to think like, okay, what if I wouldn't have? There wasn't a choice. There was no conscious choice in not overcoming this fear, not approaching this fear. So for me, it was this deep, deep internal need, like, oh wow, I've had this really great life my first 18 years. And here's the first big roadblock for me, which I'm grateful to say that was the first big roadblock.
Yeah.
There was no choice in the matter. So it's hard for me to say like what would have been. But I would have found a way to get there otherwise. It would have showed up in another way in my unhealthy sort of manifestation of that in my body. So it would have come up in a different way for sure.
Absolutely. And I love that you're just talking about how constricted that you can be, you know, and how you freed yourself in a sense. And I think that's what happens every time that we allow ourselves to sit in that fear. And kind of where we are now, on the other side of fear, you said, is freedom. And right now we are letting fear consume us by watching the news and seeing all these fear-based thought processes and,
totally,
and living from that point. And we keep ourselves really suppressed from our freedom as a country, or just as individuals. So I think that really working through that fear, figuring out where it comes from and just breathing through it and staying in the present moment allows us to find so much freedom. So, yeah, wow. Big messages today for us, Brian. Thank you so much for being here. And how can people find you and how can they swim with you?
Yeah. So my organization is called One with the Ocean, and we want all of you guys there. We do beach cleanups every week, and we've got locations across North America. Look us up at onewiththeocean.org. On December 5th, we will be doing a big cleanup from the Tijuana border, San Diego, up to the Malibu Pier, 133 miles. Yeah. And you better be there, Courtney. And we're just doing volunteers. So we're going to have some 500 volunteers cover the entire Southern California beaches.
Wow.
And it's going to be awesome. In this kind of a year, we need something like this. So we're doing it by the books. We've got the hand sanitizer, the mask, the socially distanced thing for everybody. Check that out, onewiththeocean.org. I'm the swim mechanic at The Swim Mechanic. If you're not a swimmer, you might still find some message in there that might resonate with you. However, it is very open water swimming focused, very visually focused as well, if you like pretty ocean stuff.
Oh my gosh, his Instagram is so cool. I mean, you see him in the ocean, you see him swimming, but his messages are also just so beyond swimming. It's just looking fear in the face and facing it. So be sure to follow Brian at The Swim Mechanic. And if you're feeling fearful today, or you're maybe feeling brave enough to go conquer a fear today, I hope this chat kind of provided you with a little courage and motivation. And if you'd like to go deeper in your inner work this week, you can check out my partnership with Patreon. There's a link in the liner notes, and you can have access to journal prompts and other exclusive Love Freak content. Contact and content together. But anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and go create some beautiful life out there. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.